be seated. A general, a man on the run, and a nun walk into a bar. And what will they have to drink? Well, all three drink from Psalm 63, our first lesson of the day. I am back, as you know, and concluding a summer series looking at Psalms that are beloved, well known, and pairing them with some of the parables, the stories that Jesus told to make a point to his people, drawing some connections between the two. The Psalms were the song book, the hymn book, the prayer book of the people, something that Jesus would have used growing up in the synagogue. That would have been standard to have sung these, or however they covered them. The parables are drawn from everyday life, typical examples. I think today if Jesus were teaching a parable, he might say, well, somebody went to the Walmart and this is what they saw. Or somebody was at the beauty parlor and this is what she heard. They're from everyday life. This psalm stood out to me, and the image of the general, a man on the run, and a nun all came to mind. The man on the run is David. It's believed this was written when there was a rebellion in the royal family. A son had risen up against him. He had to leave the city, pack up everything. And of course, you think about his early days, being on the run from King Saul, it's almost like, haven't I played this tune before? Haven't I, carried out this script? But he is someone who's had to pack to leave in a hurry and to escape. Kind of, will I ever be back there in the city? I don't know what's happening next. But Lord, in the midst of this, I am seeking you. So when you hear these words, think of it as somebody desperate wanting to get back home. Some of you may remember the movie Patton from years ago. And if you didn't see it, don't worry. I'm going to tell you my point from the movie. At one point, we see Patton, played by George C. Scott, in prayer. And then we just see him pray, and then they play over as he prays and walks the words to this psalm. Of course, George C. Scott could read my driver's license, and I think he can make it sound like something great was. But go on to YouTube, you can find it. And then afterwards, this is right before he has to apologize to the troops for the slapping of the soldier. And that, again, the backstory there, a fella had basically been shell-shocked, which now we would call that shell-shock. That's why they're in the hospital, but didn't really understand it then. And he thought, these guys are wounded. You're just upset. And just kind of a moment popped the guy. More of a sense of, come on, get it together. But it came across the wrong way. But it was interesting. It paired it. I did a little research and didn't get a definitive answer. One person said, he prayed this on a regular basis before every battle. Maybe he did, maybe he did not. But I thought it was interesting that it was picked for the movie and scripted just so. He is humble, defiant, but also humble. And a sense, and it said, this has been confirmed. He was interesting, but he did pray. He was a person of prayer. We'll get to the nun later. 2 points to take from this for today. First, it talks about seeking diligently, seeking the Lord. The Lord is to be found, but to seek him, like a merchant going for some great treasure. And I think of today, merchants going on a buying trip, going to New York to find just the right item to buy, to be sold in the store. The work, and often the behind-the-scenes work that goes into it. Think of merchants maybe the smaller scale merchants, early in the morning going to get the items that they know that will sell just right for the stores that will open later. Story is told talking with an aunt about a first cousin of my granny. It was a genealogy project, and I'll spare you that part of it. But my aunt said, well, he had a business where he would meet the trains first thing in the morning with the produce they were bringing in, and that he would buy it, buy the best, and then bring it to the different stores. How did that go? And my aunt said, well, very well, because they always seemed to have more money than we did. But that was it, to find the best produce. Thinking about that, I thought of a woman who loved to go to farmers markets. In her hometown, she knew exactly who raised the best butter beans, who had the best corn. And so up early in the morning to go to the farmers market to graciously beat out, she's not going to hit anybody, but basically graciously beat out anybody else to get the best of what she needed to prepare. She would prepare and then freeze and can, and she wanted the best. And she would do what it takes. That kind of sense of urgency there. Oh God, you are my God, and I earnestly seek you. My soul thirsts for you. And thinking of Patton, at a hard moment, Lord, you're the one I need to seek. Our merchant in our story urgently seeks something of great value and will act immediately to find it. For us, an application, pursuing the relationship, setting the time to pursue Christ, have a pattern, making a point to spend the time like you would want to spend time with a friend. A seminary professor was raised by his grandmother. He came from a broken family, and this was earlier, when it was maybe less frequent occasion, often felt a bit of shame about it, but loving grandmother. And after dinner, he would be bolt out the door and accidentally on purpose not hear her say, can you help me with the dishes? He lived in Philadelphia, so it was down the stairs to catch a bus, to catch a trolley, to get to, and then walk the blocks, a few blocks, to his girlfriend's home with her parents. And what did I do when I got there? I washed the dishes with her. Because before we could go out on the date, she had to have those dishes washed. But that was not work. That was joy. And that's the one woman with whom he had a 50-year marriage that followed. But to spend the time with her, just even washing dishes, was fun. Well, that's got to be love then. But anyway, like I said, all they did and pursued it. That is the place to want to pursue it like that. Second application or point for us is recognize the value, what it means to pursue. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys the field. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. The people here know the value. The general reviewed what mattered. Yes, he knew what it took to win battles, but he also knows that if you're going to be general, you have to battle politically as well. And if there sought the Lord, before I go into this, give me wisdom on how to respond. David knew what it was to lose everything. He did not know the outcome, though he will be restored as monarch. But Lord, you've got the value. All has been taken from me, once again, but I have value in you. Maybe for you this is a time to reassess. What do you treasure most? What do you pursue with time, money, energy? If something is holding you back, ask, what is it? Is it comfort, pride, a habit? Is something holding me back from pursuing that which gives me the most value in life? Then let me reassess, reorganize, and go forward. And so a general, a man on the run, and a nun walk into a bar. So what about our nun? How does she figure into this story? I think back to another story that was told, actually of a journalist who worked, and this is decades ago, but worked in a paper that kind of specialized in a little bit of scandal, celebrity scandal. And she was fairly jaded about life, had become very jaded, and had been through a series of circumstances that had made her even more skeptical of human nature and kind of wondering about her life. Her editor said, we've got a tip. There's a celebrity. It can't get into the Betty Ford Center right now. They're booked. So the story, the rumor is she's gone to a convent to spend some time. Let's see if she's there and get the story. And so the journalist goes to the local convent. Well, this celebrity is not there, but while she is doing some questions in the front end, she sees some, wait, I know that nun. That's an old friend from the college days, and she was one of my party girlfriends, you know, that kind of thing. They meet, they talk, they agree to meet later. And the friend comes in civilian clothes, kind of off duty right now, and they talk some more. And just realizing the peace and serenity that has come to her life. This journalist is just, this is where my life is now, and that's where hers is. The journalist goes back to visit, to see her at the convent, and they're chatting in the chapel. And the journalist finally says, that's it, I want to be a nun, that's what I want to do. And her friend's going, it's a pretty tall order. But says, look, you're thirsty. You're trying to drink from an ocean. Why don't you just start with a cup of water? And you're already here in the chapel. And kind of points to the altar. It's Catholic, so you know, then points up and says, and someone's already here to meet you. Let me let you two talk. And the friend leaves. And as our story ends, the journalist now looks around, sits down, and just starts with, long time, no see. Knowing that she is seeking and finding something. Today, as we begin yet another month, and as we come into the last round of summer, many details, summer adventures. I know for me, the summer adventures are past. Anything I do will be done locally. We begin a month with another opportunity to meet at this table. And today may be just another good Sunday for you. A chance to get a little boost going into the week, but it's all going good. And some of you, you're in a hard season. And for some of you, only you know, humanly speaking, only you know what the day is like. But regardless, Jesus is here at the table to meet you, to fellowship with you, to quench your thirst, and to fill you. Thanks be to God. Amen.